Joining us on the phone to talk about these numbers from the report is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Before we delve under the hood deeply, what was your overall reaction?
Well, I was a little surprised at the corn number. I thought we'd be a little higher than that on the acreage, that is. And corn stocks, a little lower than what we anticipated, but on the corn stocks, it does show a large percentage still in the farmer's hand, which indicates they sold beans and are still hanging on to the corn. But this smaller corn acreage tightens the supply-demand balance sheet up a little bit more compared to what the trade was looking at. When you plug in favorable yield, we still got ample supplies, but it makes more emphasis on the weather as we go down the road. Also, weather-wise, if now we see these numbers, weather-wise here, you know, if we get in the field and get some good planting progress here, producers will up this corn number a little bit as we move down the road.
When you look at the quarterly grain stocks numbers and put a pencil to it, what are the implied U.S. ending stocks for corn and beans?
Well, basically, we could probably shave 100 million bushel off the corn estimate. As far as the bean estimate goes, it's fairly well online. We'll have to continue to monitor the export inspections report to make sure we ship out what we sold there, Dave.
So something like 1.3 billion bushels and change?
Right.
All right. Well, then, the technical action today, very, very interesting. We were in a pennant formation, broke hard to the downside this morning. Maybe it was so that they could buy it back and, again at a lower price. But, boy, taken off, and now we're looking at December corn close to $5, a number unheard of just 3 months ago.
Yeah, you go back to middle of January there, a lot of analysts looking at 325, 350, you know, downside risk and a lot of depression. And the market, gray market in general, climbed that wall of worry. Now things are a little bit more optimistic, and ideas are 510, maybe 525 in December futures, if we can go ahead and squeak out, you know, this higher close and close at the upper end of the trading range here today.
So what do hedgers do about this? Is this something you reward?
We definitely think so. We feel the risk is still to the downside. We've done a lot of strategies where we put price floors under us to keep us in the market here, that we've got that floor in place, our upside's still open, so if the market does go higher, we still have cash grain to sell at some higher levels.
Do you think that July-December corn will go back to a carrying charge eventually?
Oh, it's possible. We'll see how this corn export news comes at us here. That's the main thing is we've sold some corn, but we need to make sure we get it shipped out here. That's what the trade will be watching here as we move into May and June.
I've been looking at the July-November bean spread, too. It looks like we're both spreading. Are we both spreading on these beans today?
Yeah, we were really on fire here earlier. It's calmed down a little bit, about 40 cents over. We are in a position here where that spread is going to hold together. It seemed to hold the pullback in through here, so it appears that we're off to this $2.50, if not $3 level, as we move into this July time window.
Yeah, that was a question I was going to ask you. Does it have $3 in it?
Well, we'll take one step at a time. $2.50 to $2.60 is going to be a major spot to watch. If we don't see importation of beans or meal into the U.S., it can move on out to those wider levels.
You're going to talk about the wheat, too. What did you see there?
Well, the wheat numbers came in basically, you know, the acreage a little less than expected. It kind of surprised me. Touring the guys in the south, it seems like they did get quite a bit more wheat in than what I anticipated. As far as the wheat stocks, just a little larger than anticipated there. The thing on the wheat, we'll see how things green up in through here. We'll watch the western belt to see if they get some moisture on the wheat crop out there, so it's more of a type of yield forecast than an acreage or stocks forecast at the moment.
Do you think USDA took into account the possibility of acres being torn up out of wheat for soybeans at this point or no?
Well, that's a good question. I didn't see a fine-tuned breakdown to what we were looking at before there, but the big shift was the bean acres, a lot more bean acres, 5 million acres more. A lot of the acreage came from the Dakotas up over the North Dakota and South Dakota, and even through the Deep South, just a lot more bean acreage. And that was kind of surprising from the fact that I thought the guys in the South and even in the West would plant more sorghum. Sorghum acreage down 1.4 million acres, so if there was a drought crop to plant, sorghum or milo is not going to be it this year, Dave.
81.493 million soybean acres. Sounds like a big number, but given the demand base, maybe that number is not even enough.
Well, it's probably enough for now if you have a normal crop, but the demand is the key there. It's just not going to go away. When you look at the Outlook Forum meeting here in Washington this winter here, everybody's focused on acres, everybody's focused on price, but they came out with some huge export or world trade estimates, you know, up to 10 million metric tons jump from year to year on world bean trade, so they were quite optimistic on this future demand. However, for the guys that's been around for a while, we remember back in the Willard Sparks days, they put out carryout estimates in beans up to 500 million bushels not too long ago, and we never did receive those big carryout estimates because of either a shorter supply or a larger demand base to eat up those projections.
We talked about rewarding the corn market in the December futures off the 496. What should we do for the November at 1184? Is that a number we should do something with?
Well, I think we need to watch, you know, whether or not we can get above $12. And, you know, if we can't get above $12, it might be a signal that might want to get a little bit more coverage there. But like I mentioned before, just putting in a price floor and letting your upside run is probably the key to the game in through here until we see where we're off this spring weather.
And if you were to do that, options, what month makes the most sense to you?
Well, I've been having guys leaning a little bit more towards the Nove beans and even the Deese corn. There's some shorter-term options out there, those short-dated ones, but for the producer, I think you need the extra time. The thing on the shorter-dated or upfront ones, you've got to be fairly aggressive and stay on top of things and be able to be quick to react, and it's awful hard, you know, for a producer to shift gears in midstream and through here. So we like the Novembers, keep apples to apples, so you got plenty of time, even though they are a little bit more expensive.
Thank you, Kurt.
Take care, Dave.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois.